Hebrews chapter 2, you know, yesterday, was it yesterday? Today is Sunday, right? Okay, that, yesterday has to be Saturday. When I talked to us about the prophecy that I shared with the leaders of Saints Community Church, the Lord is bringing that to us again. Do not allow your ministry drift away from you. Make sure you pay attention to that. You see, we've been preaching a lot of assurance, but the Bible also contains warnings. Like a friend, like he said, God will not warn you if there is no danger. There are warnings. When he says, take heed, Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, of course, he's talking to the unpersuaded people. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. Means you drift away. But there are several warnings like that. In Acts 28, Paul writing to the leaders in Ephesus, he says, take heed to yourself. Now, if there was no apparent danger, there would be no such instruction. I mean, if you are driving and they say caution, and they say beware, at least there's one beware of dog. You look, there was one guy from Ibadan that thought it was a palace. So he thought it was beware of doggy. Sorry for the Ibadan people. That's how he entered. So if there's a caution, the caution is because there's an apparent problem. So if you are told to take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, feed the church of God which he has purchased with the blood of his own. In 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. And doing that, it will save not just you, but those who hear you. In Matthew 16:12, Jesus talking to his own disciples says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. If there is no problem, you won't be told to take heed. Take heed means it's a caution, a warning. And God warns like that. When Moses was about to build the tabernacle, in Exodus 25 and 40, he warned him. He said, you must build according to the pattern shown you on the mount. The writer of Hebrews reprints in Hebrews 8:5. And it obvious was what God said to Noah too when he was about to build the ark. In Hebrews chapter 11, he says, God warned him. When he was about to build there, he warned him. And what was it about? Doing it to specification. Do it to specification. Build according to pattern. And so Paul repeated it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When he says, I've laid the foundation, another builds upon. Let he that builds upon take heed. Which means you are warned. There will be no warnings if there was no danger. That means that we must take heed. Where the Bible says take heed, take heed. So I said, it's not just good to hear assurances. I was talking to some younger ministers that I teach there in the Bible school actually some weeks ago. And one of them raised this Romans 11:29. I said, interestingly, over the years, we have used Romans 11:29, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That had to do with the fact that if God has called you. Of course, we usually use it in a very omnibus way. We use it for ministry. That if God has called you, he has called you. If the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And you'll be reading the Bible like this. And you'll see people that God stopped using. You'll see the examples. They are numerous. You know? And we also, you know, link it to salvation. Even though it's not talking about salvation. We're talking about the nation of Israel. That the gifts and callings of God, the fact that he gave a promise, a covenant. If you read it to from chapter 9, into chapter 11, you will see it's about the promise he made to Abraham that God stuck with, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And in the same Romans 9 to 11, you will see that Paul wrote it clearly that there were some Israelites who were also cast away. So, you know, we must be careful of not looking for comfort zones where they are not. There are scriptures that give comfort zones, but definitely not that one. I know someone who told me, said, don't worry yourself. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He has called me. The call is there. If I told me, said, the preach is in me. And he never preached any sermon again. There are warnings that you have to take heed to. If there are warnings in scripture, then you take heed to it. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he said to them, he said, these things happened to them as examples unto us, an admonition upon whom the ends of the world will come. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 and 12. So therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls. He said, these things happen to them. Okay? As examples, pattern. And they are written for our own admonition, which is warning, upon whom the ends of the world will come. So therefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. The problem is that most of the time, we are always getting loss of salvation to those texts. He let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he falls, which means a false sense of security. A false sense of security. A false sense of there's nothing. I can do it and get away with it. Say, lest he falls. So if there is no danger of falling, you will not be warned. Paul is writing to the church who are baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 in Christ. They are sanctified, 1 Corinthians 6, 11. They have one spirit with Christ, 1 Corinthians 6, 17. They are the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 6, 19. He called them holy, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Clear. He even said concerning them, they did not come behind in any gift, 1 Corinthians 1, 7. But he said that these things you are reading are written for our own admonition, that we should take heed lest we fall. So, don't run away from those texts. And we're going to see a couple of things in this conference. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, take heed. Is that very clear? Take heed. So don't think that God works for you. No, he doesn't. Take heed lest he falls. We are given such instructions. I want to just talk tonight very quickly about our desires. See, God made man to be able to desire. In Genesis chapter 2, 16, he said he put in the midst of the garden a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and a tree of life. And he said, of every tree thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat it. For the day, look at the first communication he made with the man was a warning. That was the first communication. There was no prior communication. In Genesis 2:15, he says, he put him in the garden that he may dress and keep it. But the first direct instruction, he said, thou mayest freely eat, but of this one, you must not eat. The day you eat of it, you will die. Now, we are always running from pillar to post. What's the knowledge of good and evil? It's unbelief. No, it's not unbelief. It's doubt. No, it's not doubt. Whatever it is, the moment he says don't eat it, don't eat it. Sometimes you were in the wrong argument. Say, the day you eat of it, you will die. You know what the temptation was from the enemy? Or from the serpent, it was that you will not surely die. And you'll find many of such suggestions. That says, the day you eat of it, you'll be like one of the gods. You'll be able to know good and evil. Which means that we have the capacity to both obey God and not obey God. And that capacity is our will. Our desires. It's that capacity. The same capacity with which you can pray and serve God is the same capacity you have not to pray and serve God. It's the same capacity. That same capacity. So, you and I must watch what we desire. I'll show you a bit of that on Wednesday when I give us quite an elaborate teaching. I hope that day can cover it. You know, you look at the fact that over the years, people have used, myself inclusive, we've used the Bible for almost what we want. But is the Bible about you? No, it's about God and His plans. So our own actions, desires are secondary to what He wants. We explore all of that. So we check our desires. Our desires, what we want, what we don't want. Now for that to have happened, it means that God was not going to interfere. He was not going to interfere. He simply gave a choice. Wasn't going to interfere. He didn't make robots. He said, the day you eat of it, you will die. That's what He said. He said, of every tree you may freely eat. But the tree of the good and evil of the garden, thou shalt not eat. That's not legalism. I've told you. Thou shalt not is not legalism. It's a caution. Caution is not legalism. Caution is to protect you. It's not legalism. It's to protect you. If God says do not, it's meant to protect you. Having said that, you know, today you have people say things, different things. And you say, look at how we have been praying since yesterday. You know, somebody will wonder, why am I praying all of this? The reason why he's wondering is not his desire. He's not asking whether it is God's desire. He's thinking, what's my business? With all of this, you want to pray for this one, you are praying for this one, praying for that one, praying for... And you know, unfortunately, and this is not to castigate churches and ministries, I'm not about to do that. But you see, people have so much glorified that aspect of prayer. And the different kinds of prayer meetings that people now do, whether online or offline. They say, come, this is your day of miracles. We are going to decree a thing shall be established. We can command the morning. And so, it's now about what I want. So people will be so passionate about things like that. If you call them, let us pray and all that. In fact, you even see people who are well educated, they hold their head. They say, oh, your head is your destiny. Your head is your, and they can stay like that. You know, I saw someone like that. They were doing a fasting and prayer meeting. That's why I said, this fasting and prayer meeting is meant for, and they said, they're going to fast and pray for 8 days or say 7 days. So that your last minute miracle will not go into the next year. That before Christmas is a holiday. It's not a deadline from God. You know, people, you know, it's unnecessary pressure. He says, before the end of the year, he says, well, and people are fasting. And I said, and I called someone, I said, you know, sir, fasting in scripture is not so that your desires can be met. It's the exact opposite. Fasting is meant to make you sensitive to God's leading. It's not, oh, I want a child badly. I want a house badly. Then you start fasting. No. So, you know, so those things are so glorified. So that people now have options. I tell people oftentimes, the reason why you are not doing this one is because somebody gave you an option. It's not that you have opened the Bible and you haven't seen it there. I told someone, I said, look. And he said, well, the church, I just think there's the church, I think the person was talking about the church meetings that is stressing me. I said, look, let me tell you something. I'm not the kind of pastor you are going to shakara. I said, you cannot make me feel bad for wanting you to obey God. No, don't do that to me. I said, if you look at your Bible and what your pastor has asked you to do is not there, don't come to this church again. find it. Because it's there. I said, look, you can't manipulate me. You can't say, you know, the prayer, the evangelism. I said, is it not in the word of God? So you want to make the pastor who is making you obey God feel bad? I said, not here. Go to another place. No, go to another place. And as you are leaving, I can tell you, you will find 7,000 more people coming to do it. Thus hear the Lord. You can't make the pastor feel bad. So you want us to worship your desire. And you say, no. I said, if it's not, I said, when you open the book of Acts, is it there? It's there. When you saw the four gospels, is it there? It's there. So what have we done wrong? No. Because we have not twisted the Bible. That's why we are wrong. No, sir. No. What we are doing here at World Changers, is it in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? There's nothing we have done wrong. It's right there in your Bible. When I said, sorry, sir, I said, no, apologize to God, not me. Don't apologize to me, apologize to God. No. You want a church that will suit your desires? No. No. I said, if it's not in the word of God, Jesus saw people. He said, come, follow me. I'll make you what? One person came to him and said, I will follow you. He said, birds of the air, they have what? Nest. Foxes have holes. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Second one said, I want to go and bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the gospel. Is it not in your Bible? The third one said, can I go and tell people at home? He said, if you dare go. That's what he said. If you send that text message. That's my own version. Also salvation. If you send that email, you are not fit for the kingdom. Is it in your Bible? Is there? So what other people have given you an alternative that's not God's will? You shall not surely die. That's what they have told you. You prefer people that will twist the scriptures. No, we would not. We would not do that. Paul says that we will present every man, Colossians 4:20, blameless. That's what he said. So it's not a question of whether it's in the word. So what are we teaching you to do to have the right kind of desires? Because you have alternatives. God made sure that you can choose. But that choice can be your problem. So you have desires. The call of God to ministry is the same as the call of salvation. The same call for salvation is the call to ministry. Because we are called and called sons, we are also called and called servants. It's so simple. So those are clear things. But where is the problem? Even though the call of God and salvation are one and the same, you are called to be a fisher of men. You are called to make disciples. But now, for many of us, there's a new creation reality. Yes. There's the life of God, the Spirit of God. But we are yet to renew our minds such that our desires will reflect our salvation. If you are here today, listen to what I'm about to say, and you got born again, and God has not altered your desire yet, you are yet to be in the ministry. He will alter your desire. He will change something you planned. Is the pattern in the entire Bible. It will alter your desire. It will change something you plan. You will come in contact with an identity that you never knew you had. It will change your desire. Forget those who are preaching that, you know, when you get born again, then all your potentials will come out. That one is a motivational speaker. He's a life coach. That's not the Bible. That when you are born again, God will take you to places you've always wanted to be. Even hell. Those are wrong teachings. Very wrong. And that's why one of the dangers in the church today is syncretism, where they will take the Bible, match it with some other beliefs. It will not look presentable to you. It's not like that. God called Abraham and said, he said, come out of your father's house, your kindred, your house, your country, to a land I will show you. Upon that calling is the entire Bible focused on. Come out. And you can you now say, hey, God just say, come to what you've always wanted to do. I'm here. What? God will tamper with your desire. He will tamper with your plans. Salvation is meant to give you a new identity and also a new set of desires. A new set of desires. I told you how before I got born again, somebody saw one vision about me and said there was an enemy coming after me, so I had to go and stay in church. It didn't pain me. And they shot me inside. They say it's to protect. But the funny thing about that protection was the door of the church was open. There was no gate. So I was wondering what useless protection is this. They made me stay inside the church building. So I made up my mind. I was going to join the army. If you were born in those times of military era. You grew up there. I said I was going to join the army. When I joined the army, I was going to move quickly to the top. I'm joining people to plan a coup. We'll remove the sitting government. And I'm going to announce, the first thing I'm going to announce is that, fellow Nigerians, this is also a so-and-so person, the first problem in this society are churches. We are banning all the churches. Especially, number 7, Adam Street, Owo-Mishoki, Lagos. I planned it in my heart. What kind of rubbish is this? Do you understand? Know, it makes sense. Do you understand? How can I stay? I said, well, me stay in the church for a whole day. That's joblessness. A young boy thinking like that, hellbound. He said, me? I said, the sermon is boring, the prayer, everything is boring, boring. But you see, when salvation comes, when I got born again, we had this prayer group. It was going to be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, we pray vigils. Saturday, Sunday, I'm saying the first week I got born again. Then Wednesday, general vigil. This is the same person that said he will not stay in church. I joined all the prayer groups till I fell sick. All! Because I can't feel it. If I don't join, maybe I'll go to hell. So I can pray. What had happened? Something had happened in my pursuit. Salvation changes your pursuit. It does. Salvation also changes your priority. It changes it. You see, I've told you, you'll meet some people, they'll be speaking in tongues and they're not born again. They're not born again. They do speaking in tongues in movies now. Doesn't mean he's born again. The guy's belief system. Phew. That's not saying. That's not a born again person. Desire. The pursuit. Someone said, no. I don't. Someone said it in one meeting like that. A friend of mine was teaching something. So they said she asked a question. The girl got up. She was part of the service. She said, sorry, I don't understand this. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost stuff. She said, my body is my body. I can't decide what to do with it. I said, oh boy, he's not born again. No, that can't be a Christian now. This one is not born again. Emoji, it appears so. No, it doesn't appear so. This is clear. I said, quickly get this person born again. He said, what's in the service? If he likes, let her be the servant. This one is not born again. You don't talk like that about God's word. You don't. You don't. don't. You know, you don't. Something has to change. Our pursuit. For some, they are born again, but they have encountered identity crisis. Like Moses. Shared that with you before. Moses was born at the time Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male children in Egypt. He didn't feel the women were going to be a threat. Idiot. It was the women that did him in. People are saying like that. They say, I want to, he say, what, someone gives a blast, he says, what, is it a boy or a girl? No, Yahweh. It's the most stupid question you ask people. No, it's Yahweh. Bouncing baby boy. What does that mean? So what was the girl? So people condition their wives to regular maternity ward people looking for a boy. You that you're a man, what have you, what is your usefulness in this life? What's your usefulness? Born again, you're not yet born again. After born again, you're not useful. So what's the glory of your ma- don't let me say too many things. Pharaoh was so stupid. It was the women that finished him. Including his own daughter. From the midwife, the daughter, Moses' mom, his sister, then Zipporah, all women, being silly. So he was born that way. Grew up in the house of Pharaoh. Too taught by his sister and his mom. So he had an identity crisis. He didn't know who he was. Later on in Exodus, he found one Hebrew fighting with an Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian. He went. The second day he saw two Hebrews fighting themselves. He told himself, we are brethren. Ayakilah. So we know what you did yesterday. He ran away. So he was not accepted even by the Hebrew because he was raised somewhere else. By the time he got to Midian, again, he rescued the daughters of Jethro. One of them eventually married. And when they were going to describe him, they said an Egyptian, and Moses never countered it. When he came back to his son, Gershom, he called him stranger. So he was going through an identity crisis. Where he was raised, who raised him, where his school, because in the house of Pharaoh, it was a school. He was raised up and taught, Acts 7:22, he was raised up and taught in the knowledge of Egyptians. But all those things do not give you your identity. Such that, when God now appeared to him in Exodus 3, the same person raised by his mom, God now said, I am the God of your father. The God. Why was God saying it consistently to him? Because along the line, after 80 years, he had forgotten. The thing was mixed in his mind. He had forgotten. Later on, when the Lord said to him, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, he said, who am I? In fact, he said, who am I to go before Pharaoh? At some point, he said, who do I then send to me? After so many years, he had gone too far. Too far. He had mixed things. It had also affected his own desire. And obviously, by his encounter in Exodus chapter 4, he was not circumcised. An identity marker to the Jews. Zipporah quickly saw it. He will just die with the wolves. She quickly circumcised him and the son. It was after then And he went before Pharaoh. After a while, he said, I cannot even speak. I'm not so eloquent. Why was he doing all that? Because over time, his identity had changed. Today, if you call someone and say, do you know that you are called to the ministry? They will look at you and say, what are you talking about? Born again man. What are you talking about? I said, look, God, they can't fathom what you are saying. It's in God's word. But they have so much gone far. Why would you have a believer? Listen, stop writing. Let me say something. Why would you have a believer? Let's forget the nomenclature of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. Let's just put it aside. Why would a believer not want to be a pastor? Have you thought about it? Why? Why would a believer, born again, doesn't want to pastor? Why? Why would a believer not join a prayer meeting? Have you thought about it? Why? What is it about prayer meeting that should not make him want to join? Identity crisis. He thinks he is somebody else. Why? Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:1, he said, whosoever desires the office of a bishop desires a good work. So like 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, said, the things you've heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit unto who? Faithful men. Which means that when you have people who desire such offices, they're only faithful men. Why? Why would a believer be in a local assembly 3, 4, 5 years and we are yet to commit any flock to his hand? Why? He has an identity crisis. He thinks he's somebody else. She thinks he's somebody else. Why? Why? Why would a believer in the local church not attend a retreat like this? Why? And you know, he's a new convert. Paul was a new convert. How many days was he fasting and praying? 3. Was it a week after I got born again? Immediately. 3. So, there's something odd when a believer does not desire service. Something is odd. He has an identity crisis, which is showing forth in what he desires. Wait, as a young age, you wanted to be first in your class. Even though every parent was first. It was natural. Nobody has said, why do you want to be first? No, some people are destined to be first. Eh? You go home and tell your parents, the reason why I'm number 15 out of 16 is because it's not my calling. They will call you. It's even these days that they don't do those kind of things. You have to show your report card before Christmas dress. Christmas dress. Then they buy you Cortina shoe. You don't know Cortina. To show your report card first. Why are you fourth? What happened to the first 3 positions? You look at the man and say, why are you so wicked? There are 32 people, I'm number 4. And you say, why am I fourth? You have that desire. Number. If you had a bad result in school, there's one song they used to sing then. You find a way of hiding your report card. I was thinking in Yoruba, I was trying to sing it in English. That means I passed. It was a goat that ate my report card. You can't go, you can't be boasting. You know, it's nowadays that some boys who fail in school, they say, I had mental health. When my dad is done with you, you have mental condition. One silly boy like that, I said, because he's a government college old boy. He said, you know, he didn't know he had autism. Said the teachers in GCI, they beat the teachers of him. He decided his notebook. You go and say, I was just depressed in the class. My father would look at you. What did he just say? The teachers were very tough. I don't know what happened. Hey, you better go and get a biro and change the 12 to force. That too, don't turn it to ST. So you had that number. Then you now get to the church. Desire, say, no, it's not in me. What's not in you? Maybe you are not born again. How can it not be in you? It has to be in you. God has called you to serve Him. It has to be in you. It's in a born again man to have such desires. It's in us to have such desires. Such, they are not empty human ambitions. They are godly desires. To have such desires. How can you see people praying and you don't want to pray? How can you see people healing the sick you don't want to do it? How can you see somebody preaching and people are getting, you know, blessed and taught and you don't want to do it? We should question it. Maybe it's another spiritual, not the Holy Ghost. Or like a friend of mine used to say back then, maybe you went to the thief at the right hand or left hand. You know, blood was flowing everywhere. Because how would you not want to? Look, go and read your Bible. Every time people had encounters with God, they got up to serve Him. It's just what it is. You join the church. 6 months, 1 year, you are here to be a worker. Let me say something to you. You were already a worker. Not you, because you can't be here if you're not. You're already a worker. The only issue is that you have not been going to work. Don't anyone say, worker, non-worker. We are the ones giving you room to transgress. You are already a worker. The moment you are born again, you're a worker. You have just not gone to work. That's it. And when the results are out, you will see it. You didn't go for lectures. You were in the room. You didn't go. You didn't attend lectures. You didn't attend tests, exam, nothing. And you are not wondering how your name came out in the list. It's going to be there. Say, but I didn't go. But we know you are a student. So you just put so and so and so. F, 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 parallel. That's all. So don't say, I didn't say I was a worker. Now. I didn't tell you I was a worker. That is to me. God knows you are a worker. You are a worker. You are already a worker. You see, there are things that human beings will permit because of the things you don't want to make you, you don't want to look like they are forcing you. But you and I know God is forcing you. Why won't He force you? He created you. Who are you that cannot force? God does not force. See, God, the Spirit of God will cajole you. See. That's for new converts. We tell them those at the beginning. I told you a few days ago, I was praying, and I saw my leg was paining me, and I was crying. It never happened to me before. And I said, gee, this is paining me. And that's all to it. It was real pain. And I said, I'm not sitting down. I said, I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to sit down. And I was telling myself, and something was forcing me. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Is that a demon? It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that made Paul not see. Is that the Holy Ghost? Did he see? Why won't you pray when you can't see? That's the Holy Ghost. If he starts praying and the thing continues. That's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that saw Peter and John, who were fishermen, and they dropped and followed. So go and think about it. Jesus said, Peter, Andrew, you know, you guys, I believe you are called. Take some time out. He said, follow me. Follow me. Peter said, look, you will no longer catch fish, but men. And he followed. That's the Holy Ghost. So the one that I see, you are still taking tea. Think about it. Pray. It's not, it's a demon. No? So I have new desires. I have godly desires. Don't let anybody give you, listen, no. Don't let them give you man-made doctrine. This is God's word. We have such desires. We therefore must cooperate with those desires. And you see people fighting it. Someone told me this, shockingly. Said, I met someone. Somebody told me. The person is my mentor. And the mentor told me, you are not, just an example, say, look, don't let anybody, you are not an engineer. You're not a preacher. You are first of all an engineer. Said, it just dawned on me. Somebody had been teaching. It just dawned on me. The money corporation deal. It just dawned on me that's who I am. Revelation from heaven. You are an engineer. So, Jesus gave you the spirit to know you are an engineer. You should know that kind of person is evil cancer. That kind of person that said that to you is an evil counselor. Are you following what I'm saying here? Identity crisis is why we think, who am I? Identity crisis, why am I the one? When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of every nation. There is no further call to be a pastor than that. The one who makes disciples is a shepherd, an overseer. What has happened to many Christians is that they think the commitment to be too high. And in this conference, whatever fear, laziness, whatever lackadaisical attitude had overwhelmed your desire will be gone. Yeah. You will go back to work. Yeah. And you will never leave work. Yeah. It is your work. It is his work. And that is where you find fulfillment. There is no double identity with you. You don't have an identity crisis. The world has nothing on you. The world has nothing on you. The world has nothing on you. Your identity is framed in Christ Jesus, is formed in Christ Jesus, inspired in Christ Jesus, and it progresses in Christ Jesus. As I close tonight, I want to just tell you, the things we are praying about, which I am praying about, that is your prayer life. It is not a World Changers Conference prayer point. It is your prayer life. What you have received here is a burden. A burden to pray. A burden. I'm praying for a whole day or several hours in the day should not be an anniversary. Did you hear what I'm saying? It's to build a prayer culture. What we are only doing is calling you to work. so that you can resume and do it regularly. Don't forget. Don't let your ministry drift away from you by circumstances, desires, situations, the nations you are living at. I told someone this. Person said to me, he said, someone I've mentored for many years, I think over 31 years. So he always tells me what he said over his life. I've been the one, he's all there. So he left the country. Nothing wrong in leaving the country. People have different reasons for leaving the country. So he's out of the country. So we're talking. This is a very recent development. And I'm saying so that I can hear it too. And so he told me, he said, there's this vision I had. I said, oh boy, you always have vision. You told me this vision in 1998. Told me this vision in 2005. Told me another one 2013. Another one. He said, yes. I said, it's time to walk in it. He said, but where I am, because the country is at, he said, people are basically called towards the miraculous, towards the power of God. And I have this, and I've known him. Well, it's long. I mean, yeah, I'm sure it's 31 years. So I said to him, should I tell you what you are going to do? Very settled in one of the states, all of the countries I'm in out of Nigeria. He has a passport. So I said, should I tell you what you are going to do? He said, what, sir? You will come back. He said, sir, I said, if you call me for counsel and you are led, let the lead flow through now. He said, bro, no. I said, I'm hearing you. I said, come back to Africa and come and do missions. When you are done, then you will know where you are going to. This one, you are sitting there and just pray and wishing. Nothing is going to happen. He said, I'll pray about it. I said, when you are done praying, this is my answer. Come back. I'll come and do mission work. I'll throw you somewhere where the gifts of healing will not be a teaching. It will be a manifestation. I said, if you had told me earlier, this happened just a few days ago. And he got me at a time when I was just done praying for about 24 hours. My eye don't read. So I wasn't even ready to pamper anybody. So then he said, what do I do? He said, now. I said, now. I said, should you have come for this conference? When you are done praying, right? The visions will first of all escape. You have a new one. So what do I do? I said, can go back and come. He said, it's a tough one. I said, God is tough. He's a tough God. He became a human being. That's a tough God. He became subject to his own creature. That's a tough God. Showing us the example of service. That's a tough God. He died the death of an ordinary sinner. That's a tough God. And we are born of him. So you have to be tough. So I'm still waiting for his answer. I'm sure he will be here next year. I will point him to you. You should know me. I will point and say, I told your story last year. You are here now. Because I knew him for years. He was a teenager when I knew him. Some people will take hard decisions here. Amen. Hard and tough decisions. Because that is what God is calling you to do. Don't allow your ministry to drift away from you. Don't. And don't accept brass for gold. Don't. Don't look for substitutes. Like a friend, Pastor Wumi Abraham, will say. He says, coke light. The one that reduces what is there. You don't have to do this. It's not necessary. I don't engage you to a church. They pray, but they pray, but you do evangelism, but they're to ministry, but they don't, but you know, you have, you know, they let you. Any voice that speaks to you like that, you will condemn in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Pray for yourself. Lord, you have called me already. Pray.